In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Later on in the month, I'm going to be gone for about 7 days, and you say, well, where are you going now? Work. I have to go to upstate New York to witness the marriage of a friend of mine. And you may not know this, but whenever I fly, I always travel in my cassock so that anyone who wants to knows that I'm a priest and they can talk to me. And I've answered questions, I've talked with people, I've even heard a couple of confessions in airports. And usually someone has a smart remark about, well, we're safe on this plane. And I tell them, you never saw any disaster movies in the 70s, did you? Because if there was a priest or a nun on the plane, you know it was going to go down. It's interesting, in the airport here, usually the people who talk to me are older Mormons. And they'll say things like, I didn't know there were Catholic priests in Utah. I say, yeah, we're number two. And, you know, when they find out that I'm a convert, they'll usually ask why I became a Catholic. And the short answer is because it's true. Because Jesus founded his church, it didn't disappear, and it is found in our Holy Father, the Pope, and the bishops in union with him. So there we have the church which Christ himself founded. And usually that doesn't get too far with people because they want more details. And so I have some prepared answers. Some of them are kind of funny jokes, so I usually give those first to lighten the mood. So they'll say, why are you Catholic? I'll say, short table prayers. You ever been around someone who does extemporaneous table prayers and they go on and on and on and the food gets cold? Catholic prayers are so much better. Bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts which you're about to receive through thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen. This is everything you need to say. You don't get extra points for being original. And the food is still warm. Just like when people say, why, what do you like being about a priest? And I say, I can leave the toilet seat up. Joking aside, there are three real reasons, you know, three principal reasons why I'm a Catholic. The first of which is that the church was founded by Christ. Secondly is related to the first, and that's apostolic succession. That our Pope and the bishops in union with him have an unbroken authority which comes from Christ himself. It goes from Jesus to the apostles, all the way down to our bishops, including the bishop who baptized, confirmed, gave me First Holy Communion, and ordained me a deacon and then a priest, Bishop William Wheaton, successor of the apostles. And I share in that apostolic authority to a lesser degree through my ordination as a priest, all the way back to Jesus. And then there's the Holy Eucharist, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. As a Catholic, I never need to worry about whether God is active and present in my life, because I know that somewhere in the world, the Mass is being celebrated at this very moment, including right now. And I've known that for a long time, even before I was a Catholic. And when I was a little kid, I get sent down to spend a month every summer with my grandparents in Cedar City. And my best friends were the boys who lived next door, and they're good LDS kids. And they found out I had Catholic relatives and said, well, you know, your cousins are cannibals. Really? You want to get the attention of a 6 or 7 year old? Tell him his cousins are cannibals. Now, we had never eaten people, to my knowledge, of my aunt and uncles. So what does that mean? What do you mean cannibals? Well, Catholics believe that they truly eat the body and blood of Jesus. And that's true, we do. Body and blood, soul and divinity. And why? Because that's what Jesus said, and that's what Jesus told us to do. So if that means we're cannibals, so be it. Reality of the Holy Eucharist is one of the prime reasons I'm a Catholic, and it should be one of the prime reasons that you're a Catholic too. One of the names foretold for Jesus in the prophets was Emmanuel. God with us. And he didn't mean just for a brief 30 years during our Lord's life on earth, he meant for all time, God with us. And how is our Lord with us now? He is with us through his church, and most especially through the church, through the sacraments. Because remember, our Lord is the chief minister of each and every sacrament. So when a baptism takes place, it's not really me or the deacon who's doing the baptism. It's Jesus doing the baptism through us. This is true of all the sacraments, most especially the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Jesus is the one doing the heavy lifting. And if that is how he continues to give himself to us, through Holy Communion, this is how he makes himself present to us until he returns in glory at the end of time. On that Last Supper, our Lord said, "This is my body." He said, "This is my blood." As we hear in the 6th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, "Except that you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, you shall not have life within you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day." If you go down to our own cathedral and you go to the Blessed Sacrament Chapel and you look up to your left, you will see those words written on the wall. It is that important. Jesus is truly present to us through the Eucharist. You may notice that the priest doesn't make up things during the Mass. Yeah, we're not allowed to make up stuff, except for the homily. That you can make up. Other stuff, no. It's especially important during the Eucharistic prayer, because we use the words of Christ himself. "This is my body. This is my blood." We use not whatever food happens to be around or what is popular or culturally appropriate. We don't use rice cakes. We don't use tortillas. We don't use pierogies. What do we use? What Jesus used. Unleavened wheat bread. Great wine. And those who offer the sacrifice are not just someone who's grabbed from the pews, but someone who has been ordained, given a share in the apostolic authority which comes from Christ. In fact, that's why priests primarily exist, is so that the Mass may be celebrated. And it gives us the power to follow Christ. Now, there are many great joys of being a priest, being able to celebrate the sacraments, watching parents squirm as their children misbehave in church. You know, all these really great things. But there are also some sad things. One of the saddest things is seeing someone leave the Catholic Church. Sometimes they leave for what they think are high reasons. They come to believe something else. They're wrong, but they think they're right. Sometimes people do it for base reasons, so that they can succeed in business or so that they can marry someone. It's always sad. I want to take them and shake them and smack them. Remember, I grew up around Marines, so violence is always an option. I just want to slap them and say, "You're giving up the Holy Eucharist." Nothing is worth giving up the Holy Eucharist for. Nothing. If you gain the whole world and lose the Eucharist, you have made the worst deal ever. Jesus died for us, and he gives himself for us. And so we have this wonderful solemnity of the body and blood of Christ to reflect upon the Holy Eucharist, reflect upon the reality of what is given to us, because if certain things are real, they require certain actions of us. How many people here believe in the law of gravity? You better believe in the law of gravity. That's the reason why you don't walk off the top of a 24-story building. Because if you do, you're going to end up, go down and go splash or squish. Reality requires of us certain behaviors. You step in front of a bus, what's going to happen? Squish. And so the reality of the Eucharist makes demands upon us. One of which is, because it is real, we need to prepare ourselves. We prepare ourselves physically by fasting. 1 hour before receiving communion. You can do that standing on your head. Some of you are old enough to remember the old fast, 3 hours. Or the really old fast, midnight on, no water, nothing, if you wanted to receive communion. Now it's 1 hour. I think it should go back to 3 hours. But I'm not Pope. But regardless, we need to do that to prepare our hearts and our minds and our bodies to receive the Lord. And we need to examine our consciences. If there's something serious there, you need to go to confession before you receive communion. The way that we act needs to show our belief in the Holy Eucharist. That's why we genuflect. You bow towards a symbol, you genuflect towards the real thing. Now, there are certain people who bow to the Blessed Sacrament because if they genuflected, they wouldn't be able to get up again. And I don't really want to have to bring in an engine hoist to get people up from genuflecting. So if you can't kneel, don't worry about it. But if you can, you must genuflect to the Blessed Sacrament. Because as we hear in Sacred Scripture, at the name of Jesus, every knee must bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue proclaim to the glory of God that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's also why we behave with reverence here in the church. You don't just yak or check your cell phone or things like that. We stay focused upon the Lord Jesus. And then we need to receive him in Holy Communion in the proper manner. The norm within the Latin rite of the Catholic Church is to receive on the tongue. There is an indult that allows you to receive in the hand also. But I would really encourage you to receive on the tongue. Why? Because it more vividly shows what we believe about the Eucharist. That it is a gift, and that it is the most precious of gifts. And then we need to make the Mass a priority. Sometimes people miss Mass for a good reason. You got the flu, and you're throwing up, stay home. If the weather is so bad that you would take your life into your hands to get to Mass, stay home. You have to take care of a sick kid, stay home. But there's a big game on TV? No. If you have visitors, no. You tell them, I'm going to Mass, you can come with me, otherwise I'll be back in an hour and a half. We don't blow off the Mass for anything because, remember, if you skip Mass for something, what you're saying is that that thing is more important than the Mass. And do you really want to come before the Lord Jesus and say, Jesus, you're great, but camping's better? Nowhere did Jesus say, go camping in memory of me. Mass needs to be a priority. And remember, there are some places in the world where our brothers and sisters in the faith take their lives into their hands to receive the Holy Eucharist. In Saudi Arabia, if you're caught at a Mass, you can be imprisoned, you can lose your job, you can be thrown out of the country. There's a $30,000 bounty on the head of any priest caught in the kingdom. That tells you something. In some communist countries, you go to a real Mass, not one of the government-approved ones, you can end up in jail for a long time. There have been nuns in China who had their eyes gouged out for going to Mass. We should all of us be willing to trade our lives for the Holy Eucharist. We need to proclaim with our words and our deeds that Jesus is truly present in the sacrament of the altar. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.